unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere on the board, Greg Bach, because it's Wednesday, and our topic to kick off this hour, Wisconsin has seen four major hospital mergers over the last year. So Gunderson Health System and Belen Health completed a merger, as did Advocate Aurora Health and Atrium Health. Marshfield Clinic Health System and Essentia Health announced they were going in talks to merge. And earlier this year, Freightert Health and ThetaCare, I hope I pronounced all those right. I don't know if I did, announced plans to merge. And so has your local hospital merged lately? And so with our next guest, we're going to discuss what that could mean for you. Ashley Swenson is Associate Professor of Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So I guess in general, what is the purpose? Like, what is the, for the point of view of the hospital systems, what is the purpose of merging like this? And yeah, I'll just end there.
Right. So these kinds of arguments advocating for a merger might fall under a few categories. The first would be cost synergies, where maybe the merging hospitals anticipate that they're going to be a stronger purchaser of all the inputs that they need to provide patient care, and that'll help them get their costs down. So these, you know, these would include lots of consumable type products like gloves and syringes and knee implants and pacemakers, but also things like capital equipment, you know, MRI machines, PET scanners, and labor inputs like nurses and administrative staff. So the cost synergies are always at the forefront of arguments advocating for mergers in any industry, you know, soda, tech, you know, cost synergies are always important parts of these justifications. The second category in healthcare specifically would be focused on patient care. The Affordable Care Act of 2010 created a lot of incentives for care coordination and population health management, like bundled payment models and promoting accountable care organizations. And the post-ACA Affordable Care Act hospital merger wave, which has been really substantial, has been associated with arguments that healthcare organizations need to be larger, need to be better able to bear risk, need to be more integrated, need to be more connected in terms of their healthcare information technology systems and able to share data, and so on, in order to meet these new standards of care, coordinated care properly. So those are the two main categories of arguments that are used to advocate for these mergers.
So then, I just listed off the four that have happened in the last year, but this is just four. Like, there's many more that you're saying that has happened in the last 13 years?
Oh, yes, yes. Hundreds, many hundreds. And there are not that many hospitals. I mean, we're talking 4,000 or 5,000 hospitals in the U.S. that provide general acute care.
Well, and that was my question, because it feels like, as you said, the consolidation of costs and being able to, like, the efficiencies and stuff. But does it also mean the closures of hospitals?
Occasionally hospitals do close, but this is more, the phenomenon I'm more often talking about here is, a facility location is merged into a health system.
Okay. And so then with this trend, which I guess is not really a trend when it's been going on for as long as it's been going on for, but how often does it actually create positive externalities for patients and for communities besides, I would say instead of like taking the cost for the hospital systems out of it, but like, is that as far as actually being good for communities, being good for patients, Is that something that typically happens?
Right. So, you know, everything I'm going to say here is on average, because, you know, when you're trying to do science, including social science, you're looking at what happens on average when, you know, X happens instead of Y happening. The best evidence I've seen to date, so this is merger retrospectives looking at, you know, the full sample of mergers nationally over, say, a decade in recent years, indicated essentially no effect on the quality of patient care. If anything, patient satisfaction went down very slightly.
Okay.
It's hard to know exactly what patient satisfaction means, because, you know, the subjective experience of receiving care in a healthcare facility is going to vary a lot depending on what you're there for. But nothing happened to readmission rates. Nothing happened to patient mortality. So it seems like there are not large positive or negative effects of mergers on average for patient care.
Okay. So
that's surprising.
That's surprising. That surprises me. For some reason, I would have thought that this would have led to, I don't know. I feel like when I see mergers and the assumption becomes they're doing it for costs, they're doing it for profits, and the access to care and the quality of care, well, like there's lip service for it, it doesn't necessarily stay a top priority. Is that a bad assumption to have then based on the data that you guys have collected?
Well, so I should say this, the research on patient quality is not my own research. I'm
you know,
standing on the shoulders of giants here. Lots of other people have done great work in this area. But yeah, so basically the net effect of whatever improvements that in care coordination that are facilitated by these mergers and the, I don't know, disincentives to invest in quality due to being a more dominant system, whatever the net effects, whatever those forces are, the net effect seems to be null.
Oh.
Nothing happens.
Well, that's great. We're talking to Ashley Swanson, who is Associate Professor of Economics at University of Wisconsin-Madison. And so is it kind of from that then, is there enough positive externalities for the health care systems that this is should be seen as a good thing then, as far as like seeing the four in the last year as like a net positive on whole?
Right. So there are some cost synergies.
Okay.
So on average, and this is my own research, so I can speak to this. On average, when hospitals merge, they do get costs down a bit. Even when you're looking at these consumable type products that are like used up in the course of caring for patients, like knee implants and hip implants and heart implants. When hospitals merge, there are some synergies. The targets of these mergers, so the hospitals that are bought up by a health system, their costs don't go down by about 2.5%. And we don't see any effects of buying up hospitals on the acquirers. So there are some cost synergies. That's beneficial. But the detrimental effects are really that prices tend to go up and that there can be negative effects on workers in the area. So there's a large body of research indicating that mergers have led to increases in the prices paid by insurers to hospitals. And these kinds of price increases will impact consumer premiums in the long run. And some mergers are also bad for healthcare workers' wages because hospital systems can have dominant roles as employers in local markets. So these we would consider detrimental.
Got it. So there is, it's basically the increased cost comes from the new systems or the merge systems charging insurance more or having them need to be covering more. And then that gets passed on to premiums. And so ultimately you do like the cost savings, even if they're small, of the merging of the systems doesn't get passed on to consumer/patients.
That's correct. It does not seem that these cost synergies are passed on into lower prices.
And so then are they seen as mergers seen as necessary? Like if some of these, like, you know, with Marshfield and Essentia didn't merge, are they on the brink of bankruptcy? Or is this the motivator still money?
You know, I, it's, I'm not going to speak to what exactly hospitals' objectives are. You know, many hospitals are not for profit. They may believe that the merger is necessary to keep the hospital operating in the market. They may aim to use these increased revenues that they get from insurers to invest in something we care about, like some new patient care program or something like that. The results so far are disappointing. But yeah, I mean, you're asking a great question. Like, are these mergers necessary? What antitrust authorities ask, like if you think about what the FTC does when they're looking into hospital mergers, they ask whether whatever synergies or benefits of the merger might be, are they merger specific, or that can they be achieved through some other kind of alliance or partnership between the hospitals that wouldn't result in anti-competitive price increases?
And so obviously, since these mergers are getting approved, they're being seen as necessary, or as far as there's not a better option as far as a partnership versus a merge.
So I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of mergers that have been approved that have resulted in no effect on patient care and have resulted in price increases. So the fact that they went through does not necessarily reflect that they were judged to be benign.
Got it. So we only have a couple minutes left, but I guess for any of our listeners who are listening to this and interested in it, what do you feel like the biggest takeaways should be of knowing that your local hospital is going through a merger? Is there anything they should be on the lookout for, or as far as asking more questions about?
Right. So I think the sum takeaway of what I've seen in the research is that, you know, the specifics of any particular deal are going to vary from deal to deal, right? I'm sure that there are mergers that have been beneficial for consumers, and I'm sure that there are mergers that have been particularly negative for consumers. The net impact is that we have not seen, at least in the short run, any impact on the quality of patient care, and we have seen results indicating that prices go up, especially when the merging hospitals are close to one another. Like, if you have a merging,
Got it. So we're sorry, they went by so fast. But Ashley Swanson, thank you so much for joining us today. It's super interesting. We will link more information to that to the show notes. But thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. As goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Gene Metnair. He is Greg Bach. And that was super interesting.
It was. I don't know. It's super encouraging.
I know, because it doesn't feel like there's necessarily... That's the thing when I see those things. Like, it's like not necessarily anything we can do about it. It just kind of is. Except just knowing some of the realities that can come down from things outside of your control.
And just out of curiosity, I did Google one particular CEO of a health group that I won't say, who's making $10 million a year.
Are they hiring? I'd love to be a CEO.
Could I be a CEO?
I'll be a CEO.
I'll do it.
I love golf.
I'd do it for $2 million.
All right. Well, happy Flag Day, folks.
It is Flag Day,
happy
yes.
Happy Flag Day.
Big deal in Waubeka, Wisconsin.
Is that where it started?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
there
yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
So commemorates the day in 1777 that the Stars and Stripes were first adopted. So I looked up some other flag facts.
Flag facts.
Flag facts. Dun, dun, dun.
That's hard to
pew,
say.
Pew, like. Pew, pew, pew. The current design is the 27th iteration of the flag and the longest used design since the U.S. hasn't added a new state since 1959. and a 51st state wouldn't really, it'd look weird.
I've seen 51st state once. It looks fine.
What does it look like? Is it just one line with one more star?
The stars aren't like uniform, like in a they're kind of like moved a little bit over.
So like each,
squish one in there.
Yeah, you squish one in there, but it still looks beautiful. Welcome Puerto Rico and or Washington D.C.
or Guam.
Sure.
What do you think is more? What's going to become a state first? I would say D.C. before Puerto Rico, because I don't know if Puerto Rico wants to be a state.
I don't think that. I think the Republicans would rather jump off of the Capitol building than allow D.C. to become a state. I think they would be like, let's make Puerto Rico. And then you'd have some douchebag up there going, I'm sorry, Puerto Rico.
Because how many congressmen would they get?
They'd get one, probably.
They'd get one. Because they're a little bit bigger than Wyoming. Like the population of D.C. is, I think, a little bit bigger than Wyoming, who has one congressman.
Two senators.
And two senators.
Yep. And Republicans would hate that, too.
They would hate that.
I mean, honestly, you think about any place that's considered for statehood, there's like, no. No. Well, let's make Russia a state. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Unless they can make like a South Mississippi or something.
Well, did you see that there's been votes in Eastern Oregon to secede and join Idaho?
Yeah. There's a big white nationalist group
that's behind
in Idaho.
Oh, Idaho is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Idaho is.
Oh, no, but I'm talking about it's Oregon counties wanting to join Idaho.
Right.
Yeah. But,
right.
Yeah.
But is the groups that are organizing this white nationalist groups?
I have to assume
there is a big white nationalist movement in Idaho.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Happy Super Flag Day, everybody.
Flag fact number two. Despite what you may have learned in middle school, there's no evidence Betsy Ross had any role
exactly
in making the first flag.
Very true. Very, very true.
They'd lie. What are they trying to tell me? Some man sewed this flag?
It was probably an insane.
There was a great
person.
Podcast I listened to about, like, you know, history, like real history, and talking about the creation of the flag. And yeah, Betsy Ross sitting on a chair sewing it. And I'm just making a flag for the country. No,
not true. And then last flag fact. Last
flag
year,
fact.
Four senators introduced the All-American Flag Act to require the federal government to exclusively buy American flags made in the USA.
Yeah.
As of 2017, the U.S. imported 10 million American flags from abroad.
Really?
99.5% of which were made in China.
Yep. That's.
We have a great big flag factory in Wisconsin.
There was a documentary made about the big flag factory in Wisconsin. I could see that being somewhat of a problem. But it's also, this is the thing of, in actual flag code, you're not supposed to wear anything that is depicting the flag. And so there's a lot of us at the 4th of July that violating that part of the flag code.
That's what I want to see. And see, the thing is, like, if you are a good person, I say wear the flag however you want. It's your right. It's free speech. But when you have those people who are trying to keep trans kids from being happy or whatever, the moment they walk down the street and their elected officials, I'm talking to you, Scott Walker, former elected official, wearing his flag shirt, I want to be like, he should be arrested on site and charged with a crime. The crime, poor fashion, and disrespecting the flag.
So you're going to pick and choose who gets in trouble for violating the flag codes?
Yep.
You're going to be busy.
Yeah, I'll take that job. $10 million a year.
Speaking of...
CEO of Justice.
See, flag justice. Because I remember that getting printed or like shared a lot circa 2017 when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling.
Yeah.
And how there's nowhere in the flag code that says anything about needing to stand for the flag. And yet all of these other line items that you are or are not supposed to do that most of us
fail to do or
egregiously do. Every year.
It's the age-old thing, and Jane played the clip from The West Wing. You know, people are like, oh,
Leviticus.
Oh, yeah, well, you want to talk about Leviticus? Let's talk about Leviticus. Yeah, it's, you pick and choose what you want, and then they're like, harumph, harumph, harumph.
All right, well, happy Flag Day. I started Flag Day with a tweet or a text from my mother sending me a picture of my Uncle Doug, who's wearing a big flag shirt and touching the American flag hanging outside my mom's house.
Aww.
She said, happy flag day.
And happy birthday, Dawn, on her flag day birthday.
Who's Dawn?
My friend Dawn.
Oh, happy birthday, Dawn. All right, we got to take a break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Jane Madnair and Greg Bach. And on Monday is Juneteenth. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the celebrations that are coming up. I know there's always a big celebration in Milwaukee, but also I'd love to hear more about anything that's happening in your communities and different Juneteenth celebrations that are coming up on Monday. But here to talk a little bit more about not only the celebration in Milwaukee on Juneteenth, but also the historic King Drive Business Improvement District in general is executive director of the historic King Drive development, Ray Hill. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Thank you, Kristen. Hey, Jane. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And so before we jump into everything that's going down on Monday, I guess let's give a little bit more background because we had you on last August when this show was still very new to talk about Bronzeville Week, and which also takes place on MLK Drive. But as far as, you know, what is the historic MLK Drive bid and what are some of the projects that are happening right now?
Yeah. So the Historic King Drive Business Improvement District, our mission is to activate and create a vibrant corridor, commercial corridor, which means we are preserving the historical character and fabric, as well as celebrating and bringing new people in the district. So that's kind of what we do here by way of a lot of different things. But the summertime is, of course, time for festivals and celebration. So we get to host the 52nd Juneteenth festival that happens every year, has been happening every year for the last 52 years, one of the largest celebrations in the country. Way before Juneteenth was declared a federal holiday, as well as hosting Bronzeville Week with several activities that happen, not just 7 days, but 8 days, because it's Bronzeville, where we get to celebrate all things arts, culture, and music related. But in addition to that, the day-to-day is really, you know, wrapping our arms around new development. We just did a groundbreaking for the new MLK library, which will welcome a new library space on MLK and Locust Avenue, along with 93 housing units as well. So there's a lot happening. If you drive down MLK, you'll see a lot of fenced off development projects happening. So we're excited about that.
And so for people who know, who can kind of picture Milwaukee, so there's MLK, there's parts of MLK that kind of start at where the Market Hall is now and on Wisconsin Ave. And then you start going north and you go through the Deer District. And so at what part becomes the historic King Drive bid?
Yep. So we start actually at McKinley Avenue. So we start a block north of Carson's or the Modern, a block north of Aloff. We start right at Spectrum and Associated Bank. So we are literally adjacent to downtown. So we're kind of the gateway to the neighborhood, and we go all the way to Capitol Drive to the north. So we have about 4.5 square miles of geography that we are responsible for wrapping our arms around and showing all the love that we can.
And embracing. And so for people who are less familiar, because I feel like until I moved to Milwaukee, I didn't know what a bid was. And now that I live here and my husband works with a lot of the different bids and stuff like that, I'm more familiar. But for people who, when they throw out the term business improvement district, what does that mean?
Yeah, everybody's like, what is that? What do you do? So the Business Improvement District, so a fun fact to that, Milwaukee has probably one of the largest bids or amount of bids in the city metropolitan area. So we have about 31 bids and NIDs. So that's a neighborhood improvement district, but that's another thing. So the Business Improvement District is funded by special real estate tax assessments. So we are considered a quasi-government entity, which means we are managed by the city of Milwaukee, but we're not administered by the city of Milwaukee, but not managed by. So all of the property owners pay a special tax assessment, and we make sure that the corridor is invested back into. So that takes care of everything from trash pickup to holiday decorations to some grants and some low interest loans back into some of the businesses here.
And so are you also responsible, because I used to live off MLK and Brown, and now I'm in a different part of the city, but I was over there recently and there's like bump outs up and down MLK Drive now as far as curbing the Milwaukee slide. And is that a project that was under your purview?
So that is a city initiative. Okay. We do have a special streetscaping plan that's a pretty extensive plan. So you'll start to see more gateway signage, more visible branding for the Business Improvement District, in addition to some bump outs related to curbs as well, and more ADA accessibility for sidewalks. So some replacing of sidewalks. Again, it's a historic district, so you know, some of those have been ran over or hit or, you know, disintegrated over time. And so part of what we do with the city or Department of Public Works is to work with them to make sure that it's actually functionable. But yeah, we're a part of that in a certain degree, but we have a larger plan that we're working towards as well.
Got it. We're talking to Ray Hill, who's the executive director of the Historic King Drive Business Improvement District, about some of the up and coming projects and all the things that are happening around there. And I guess to remind people, because I think this was something I never learned, and we talked about this the last time you were on the show, as far as like the history of Bronzeville and that specific part of Milwaukee and how like the thriving nature of it for a very long time. And then 43 got built. And so just as a brief overview, because I do want to get on to up with all the celebrations happening on Monday. But as far as like, how would you describe kind of the last 100 years of Bronzeville and how it, where it was and where it is now?
Yeah. So Cliff Notes version basically is that there was a particular area that was welcoming to African Americans who migrated from the South through the Great Migration by way of jobs, just a better quality of life. However, there was only a certain part of the city that they could live in. And so they've created their own shopping and living district where they could live, work, play, and be. The controversy is where was that, right? It was such a large area. Yeah. And we've heard everything from south as Winnebago Avenue to as west as Fond du Lac Avenue to the river, as north as North Avenue or Center Street. So we see the new Bronzeville today as more of an energy. And so we have the privilege of being able to embrace that along MLK. That's just kind of the core of where a lot of the African-American businesses remained through the urban renewal. As you mentioned, the expressway that was built through it, the widening of Walnut Street, the east renaming of it to Pleasant Street. And so I was also, my grandfather had a business on Walnut, 6th and Walnut. And so he was had to relocate his business to 12th and North Avenue because of urban renewal. So we were directly affected, or at least my family was directly affected by that. So this is an opportunity for us to really embrace, but also kind of do the resurgence of, you know, what was Bronzeville and now what it is today.
Yeah. Are there any specific businesses that have opened up in the last year on MLK that you want to plug?
Yes, I do. So one, you're going to need padded shorts for.
Okay.
And what?
that is Spin MKE. That is located on 309 West Brown. I tell you, it is a wonderful workout. I did it myself, but I do recommend it I recommend padded shorts for sure.
You're going to be a little sore the next day.
Do you have any burger joints that I could go to while you all spin? I'm happy to visit anything in MLK that serves a burger.
It is a great 45 minutes. You'll feel actually more energized. I'm one of those people that I can watch a workout, but doing a workout is a whole other thing. So that's one of my favorites, honeybee sage, and apothecary. So there is a non-alcoholic bar, some non-alcoholic cocktails, some teas that are really not only great in taste, but they're good for you on a holistic level. So I definitely suggest checking that.
It's talking to my language right now as far as my non-alcoholic intake right now.
Yes. And you won't even know the difference. And then, of course, Sam's Place, which is a cafe on a little bit more north, but 3338 North MLK Drive, that serves as a cafe during the day and then has live jazz music every first Fridays in the evening. Ooh, and so it is very much paired with a little bit of some comfort food. So you'll get your shrimp and grits, your catfish, but you can also get a really delicious breakfast sandwich as well. So, and some amazing coffee. So.
You had me at shrimp and grits.
You're in?
And jazz.
You're those, in.
Yeah, I'm
that's
in.
It. That's
I'll
it.
See, I'll see y'all later. Bye.
And then quickly, and then I want to talk about Juneteenth. And then what is the status update with Thrive on MLK? With the big, because every time I drive past that building, I'm like, I can't wait till this is done.
Oh my gosh. The former Gimbels and Schuster's building. If you talk to anyone who's been in Milwaukee, probably in the last, 30 years, they talk about how they, were able to visit there and shop there. And you still see the original facade that's there. So that's amazing. So as they've uncovered the aluminum, it's really dope to see. They are still working towards that. I know that they are pushing for 2024 for the commercial space. And then also, I think by the end of this year for the residential portion. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be an amazing project. The Medical College of Wisconsin, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Versity is now a tenant as well in the building. So lots happening on Garfield and MLK.
You are busy.
That's wonderful.
Well, then we'll come
up a little bit.
Just a little bit. So then what can people expect on Monday?
Yeah, so Monday, the parade starts at 9 a.m. on 14th and Atkinson and then ends on Center and MLK. If you are taking that holiday and like, hey, I'm not leaving the house, you can definitely tune in and watch it on TMJ4 from 9 to 11.
Oh, fun.
Fantastic.
Yep. So immediately after the parade, there's a huge celebration. So if you're into barbecue, corn, homemade lemonade, all of the things, definitely come down. It goes from Concordia Avenue along MLK to Center and MLK. It's probably one of the largest festivals that we have in the city of Milwaukee. But you're able to also buy local art and products. It's just an amazing, amazing festival.
It's only one day, but as far as how do you describe like the vibe as far as when you try to pitch it to people as far as why they should come down?
Yeah, it's almost like a huge family reunion.
Okay.
So everybody's like in a great mood. It's kind of like that kickoff to summer right after Memorial Day. It's an excuse to eat barbecue again at like 1 o'clock. It's just a really great time to be around people and just good energy. There's music everywhere. It's just intergenerational, right? You're going to see grandparents, you're going to see kids, you're going to see some of everything. And so it's just a really great, safe time.
Well, I will definitely be there because now that the show ends at noon, we'll be able to head over there.
We can do lunch.
We might miss the parade, but that's okay. We can do lunch.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will be a special correspondent. I can go live from the
from there.
Yeah, totally.
Greg can call into the show during eating corn.
Just give me the company expense card. I will taste everything.
I'm following Greg wherever he goes.
Thank you. Ray and I will just be your points of contact. We got it. We got you.
Live from Juneteenth on MLK Drive. Yep. Greg Bach.
Yep. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Juneteenth Day.
All right. Well, where should people get more information about Historic King Drive or Juneteenth?
Sure. So the King Drive Business Improvement District website is kingdriveis.com. If you're looking for information on Juneteenth, it is juneteenthmilwaukee.com.
Perfect. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
All right, Ray Hill, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks
for having me. See you guys on Monday.
Yeah, see you Monday. Have fun and stay busy. Can't wait to see everything that pops up on MLK Drive. All right, well, thank when we you. Come back, we'll talk about what's coming up at Laughing Tap this weekend and wrap up the show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Let's celebrate. It's all right.
Know everyone wants to laugh. My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair and Greg Bach.
Yeah, that's me.
Who's gonna be at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh my good gravy, I'm glad you asked. What a great question. This weekend, well, actually, just want to say this real quick. If you wanted to come to the Barron's Brothers comedy show tomorrow, sorry, tickets are sold out. And I'm only saying this so you get your tickets ahead of time because this show sells out every month.
So remind people what that is.
That is Charlie and John Barron's. Charlie Barron's, we all know Charlie. Mm-hmm. John is one of Charlie's 200 brothers.
Is he from a really big family?
He's one of 12.
One of 12, yeah.
Wow.
He's the second oldest of 12 kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they do a monthly showcase where they have two other comedians. They perform, and it's not Charlie's Manitowoc theater show. It is him working out stand-up, doing some crowd work, having fun. It's a great time inside the Laughing Tap. And like I said, tickets sell out every month, and they did this month. So just make your plans, folks.
So what, remind, so people can look ahead, it's what Thursday of every month?
It's usually, the third Thursday, but over the summer there will be some scheduling stuff, so we will be probably like switching it on the Thursday. So just check laughingtap.com.
So you just have to bookmark laughingtap.com.
Exactly.
Easily done.
Get it in your life. But go on.
I was going to say.
For this weekend. Jinx. I can't talk until you. Oh, darn. Mr. Sam Talent, who is one of the best comedians in the country, one of the funniest people I've ever seen, and one of the nicest humans on earth.
A great last name.
Oh, wonderful last name. And he's a tall gent, usually wears what seems like Spanx on stage, shorts. Like he always wears biker shorts? Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Very funny. He's been all over. He's been on TV. He's been on radio. We have a clip. Play the clip, please. Thank you.
Did you guys wear a mask last year? Sick move. Cool move. I'm from Colorado. They were not with the movement. Yeah, it was brutal. I'm not an anti-masker. I just think Ace Ventura is better. Come on. Guys. You guys take that one to work on Monday, all right? Make a friend. I've been waiting a year to tell that joke. It was crazy to watch America rip itself in half over that simple garment, you know? You had half the country that was like, you know, if you don't wear a mask, you're an enemy of society, you're discompassionate, you don't believe in science. Then you had the other half of the country that was like, if I can't go to Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm gonna blow up a post office. I'm a patriot, you know? I compromised. I ordered in Buffalo Wild Wings, blew up a toilet. That was my go-to.
This is how funny he is. Just that line when he goes, come on, that line, not the joke itself, not the I'm more of an Ace Ventura fan, but the come on, that just makes me laugh so hard every time. And it's going to be four shows. I believe the Friday early show is sold out. So Friday late, and we have a Saturday early. But I will tell you this too, Saturday early is low ticket alert. So
low ticket alert.
If you want to see him, get your tickets. This is his fourth time here. He was the first comic to headline the club for the general public. Like we had in January of 2020.
Right before the
thing.
The Thing.
The Thing. And it is going to be a great time. Tickets are available at LaughingTap.com. If you can't make those shows, guess what? There's a show tonight at Cafe Central that Milwaukee Comedy, who owns Laughing Tap, is putting on tonight at Central, $10. Starts, I believe, at 7 or 7:30. Great comics on that show. And then on Sunday, if you're not doing anything, keg stand-up at Lakefront Brewery. I mean, we got...
There's a lot of stand-up in Milwaukee.
There's a lot of stand-up. And it's a lot of comedy happening, and we're proud of it, and we're excited to be putting it on. And we'll actually, next week, I'm probably going to have another comedy festival announcement to make.
Ooh. So wait, explain that to people. So there's... Laughing Tap is the venue, so, but Milwaukee Comedy owns the Laughing Tap?
So Milwaukee Comedy is the parent group.
Oh, and I don't think I knew this.
Underneath Milwaukee Comedy is the Laughing Tap, the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, and then that's it. So mm-hmm. So we do remote shows throughout the city. The Laughing Tap is our home club, and then we have the festival as well, and that's all under Milwaukee Comedy. So you can find information at MilwaukeeComedy.com for our general non-Laughing Tap shows. LaughingTap.com for the Laughing Tap, and then MKEComedyFest.com for the Comedy Festival. So,
and one of the other things that's good on the MilwaukeeComedy.com page is, don't you guys have like a repository of local comedians?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we do have, we have almost like a Facebook, if you will.
Yeah, of like if people wanted to try to find local comics for their event or something like that. Is that something that you would recommend them check out?
Yeah, please do that. And I will be honest, I'm not sure how up to date it is, but I mean, honestly, you can just reach out to us and ask. If you, I mean, we have people all the time who have private events saying, I'd like to hire a comic. We help you out with that, and we'll put you in touch with people, because we've got a lot of great talent in this city, and we're real proud of our scene.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Sam Town, I honestly wish I could play like a 60-minute clip of that man, because he's just so funny. And does a lot of improv on stage, and I don't mean like give me a suggestion. I just mean he just makes stuff up off the top of his head on stage, and it's amazing.
I just pulled up a picture of him, and it's not quite spandex. It's just like, it's like biking workout shorts.
And he's also like 6'7".
Oh, he's that tall.
Wow. He's a tall gent. He might be taller than that. He's a big tall. He's a big brick of water.
Well, because look, I mean, you can tell he's a big guy, but I couldn't tell he was like a huge.
He's tall. Yep. Yep.
Wall of a man.
Yes. He's a redwood of a man.
He's like your dad's size.
Yeah, except he's probably three times the width of my father.
Yeah, your father's very slender.
Your dad's adorable. He just, I don't know if I told you this when I met him a couple weeks ago. He just walked up and goes, hello, I'm Kristen's dad. I'm like, I know who you are. You're so cute. I love your video. So please come out and see some shows. We're going to be taking some couple weeks off here and there and throughout the summer. So see shows before.
Before you can't,
and then we come back and then can again.
But all right. Well, today was a super fun show.
This was great.
Super great. We always love it when you're here, Greg.
Stop it.
But soon we're going to have a big announcement.
Yeah. It might happen next week.
Next week. I think next week when Greg's back on the show.
Yeah, next week.
We're going to have a big announcement we're in this together.
Yep.
No, that's actually not true at all. But he is going to be here next week, as always, but we'll have a big announcement as far as some future projects.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll call them that.
Yeah.
For Greg Bach on the show, on the station. We'll leave it.
They're putting it all together now.
We'll leave it there.
Sprinkles.
But as for today, thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for being part of the show. As always, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789 or asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. We will be back tomorrow to do this all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.